Carrie's Couch.
On Carrie's Couch this week, it is a story that you can't script it. So it all happened, actually, I was at yoga and one of the women who come to yoga said something, oh, but you know, I'm sure you know about the story. And I was like, what are you even telling me? And as she started to mention a little bit more of the story, I was like, no, don't tell me now. I want to interview about this because this is just ridiculous. So welcome to Carrie's Couch, Sue Cardwell. Hello, Sue.
Hello, Carrie.
Sue, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And some of these stories that I presume it's not a story you want to tell over and over again, or maybe you have already told it, you know, over and over again. But today, we want to get it a little bit more because I can tell you now, I am the most interested and I know that our listeners are too. So first of all, Sue, let's get to know a little bit about the woman behind the story we're about to tell. Are you from, Sue? Where did you grow up?
In Natal, in Durban.
Durban, born and bred.
Born and bred in Durban.
And have you always been a nature lover? I mean, are you someone that grew up going for hikes and safaris and all the things?
Probably as a child, no, because as a product of the sort of 60s and 70s, that wasn't really the kind of holidays we did. We were more berg, beach people.
Yeah.
But then I married a Zimbabwean who was very much a bush person.
Okay.
Loved, going into the bush. And so I started really with him, going to different game reserves and having different bush experiences, like paddling down the Zambezi River.
What?
Yes, doing those kind of adventures, but probably came more from his side.
No, you have to love someone very much to paddle down the Zambezi. When you say paddle, I presume you're not in a big boat, like something that an animal could very easily get to you in.
Yes, I know. In a canoe that could be towed very easily.
Mm-mm.
But yes. With crocs lurking on the riverbanks and the sandbanks in the river. But you're pretty fearless at certain stages in your life.
Okay.
Things like that. You're invincible. It's never going to happen to me. It happens to other people.
Well, there we go. And I think that's a great intro maybe into the story. So Sue was gorged by a rhinoceros. An actual woman. So Sue, let's get to that holiday. What year was it and where were you on holiday?
So we were in the Umfolozi Shishlui Game Reserve, staying in a camp. There was a group of eight of us. One of the couples were great friends of ours who'd immigrated to Australia. And this is, they like to really return back to South Africa and get to, you know, not the fancy five-star reserve, but to the proper, the real thing, the real deal.
Mm.
So we were staying in a camp. And the camp came with a ranger and a chef cook. All of us were people in the group who liked to walk. So when the ranger asked us what we wanted to do that particular morning, it was Saturday morning, October 2014, the weather was inclement, overcast, a little bit drizzly, a little bit windy, but we felt that it was better to go walking than to sit in a car under those weather conditions. So before we set off, the ranger did the briefing, and all of us are very familiar with being in the bush, walking. And, you know, the briefing was a little bit like white noise on the aeroplane.
100%, yeah.
You're hearing it, but you're not paying attention.
So just if I can stop you there, in the briefing, was there a you know, if a rhino charges, this is what we do? Was that part of the briefing?
Oh, yeah. If a rhino charges, you run up a tree, climb up a tree. You know, if an elephant comes, stand still, don't run. You know, as I said, I don't think we really, of us paid that much attention because we weren't going far. And it was just going to be a lovely morning walk in the game reserve. And we set off in single file, silently, and we stopped to look at the small things, the spider webs, the dung beetles, with the ranger, you know, giving us background and explanations. And we saw larger animals, but at a great distance.
Yeah.
They never got close to us. And we'd probably been walking for an hour and a half. We'd turned to come home. The weather had got worse. We were walking in single file uphill. And at that moment in time, I happened to be the eighth walker. So the ranger was up front and then the lion walking behind him. When I looked up and there was a rhino coming at me.
From what side?
Just on the right, coming from the right. So, Kiri, if I say to you, this is a nanosecond, less than a nanosecond, I had to make a decision. There were no trees. There was not a tree in sight.
Oh my.
So that wasn't an option. And I could either have run forward towards the group with where the ranger was, armed with a gun. I just ran. And it just happened that I ran in the direction away from the group.
Oh,
and as I ran, the rhino came after me. There was no malice coming from the rhino. I think in hindsight, the rhino was downwind from us.
Yeah.
It had picked up the scent of the party walking past. And by the time I got there, the rhino was thinking, I want to get out of here. I'm not happy with the situation. And the rhino ran and we just collided.
Oh, so you reckon the rhino was actually not running to come to you guys. It was trying to run out of the space completely away from you and then landed up in its worst nightmare, which became your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
So then
I think that it was definitely running away for self-preservation, because if the rhino had malice, it would have just turned around and come back and trampled me to death, probably. But it caught me at the back of the leg, gave me a flick in the air, and kept running, and we never saw the rhino again.
All right. We have to go back a second. So, yes, the rhino flicked you in the air, and then it ran off. Let's continue, Sue. No, this is the part that I'm super interested in. And it's been a few years, so please forgive me if I ask too many questions, but this is just next level. So the rhino comes, it flicks you into the air with its horn, head.
People ask me, was it male or female? Well, I didn't have time to check its genitals.
Yeah.
It was definitely a white rhino.
Okay.
And I'm assuming it was either the horn or its snout. Because it must have really been just a glancing blow, because the damage was not nearly as severe as it could have been.
Do you remember being thrown into the air? Like, do you have a memory of flying in the air at Louis Omfolosi, being like, oh my gosh, I've just been hit by a rhino?
I don't have a recollection of that. My last sort of recollection was I knew there was going to be contact. I just knew there was going to be contact. For my husband, his first recollection is he heard me scream.
Mm.
He turned. He just saw me in the air with my legs way up in the air.
Good girl.
And the rhino disappearing into the distance.
So the rhino really could have did some damage. I think that's as well why you're so, not protective of it, but protective of it. You know, it's not to be vilified now, this rhinoceros. It was really being in nature.
No.
So now you've just been hit by the rhino. The rhino's disappeared. But now this is the start of a full-on thing, because as you said, you've been walking for an hour and a half. You've only just turned around. So I presume you on foot a good hour away from wherever home base is. You've got seven other civilians or six civilians and one game ranger and you on the floor. What happens next?
Well, this is when you have to pick your walking partners very carefully. I had two surgeons.
Good grief. Come on. Yeah.
What are the chances? What are the chances? The ranger, he had a walkie-talkie and a gun, neither of which are that useful when you have an injured party member.
Yeah. Sue, it's too late for you now. Goodbye, Sue.
Just where we happened to be, it was difficult for him to get comms on the walkie-talkie. And he was quite conflicted. Does he stay with the injured party? Does he run up the hill so he could get comms? You know, this is not something he probably has ever had experience with.
100%.
But it was very reassuring to have two medical people with us who could immediately assess the damage to my leg. Immediately they could look at the wound and say, Sue, it hasn't hit an artery. You know, you're okay. You're going to be okay. And in those first moments when you're lying on the ground and you just don't know whether you're going to bleed out on the hillside or the game reserve, but they were very reassuring. So it did take time to evacuate me because they had to call the central game ranger office, who had to send out a vehicle, which obviously couldn't get very close to me. And then they had to carry me up the hill, load me onto a game vehicle and bounce me over the potholed roads. Well, at this stage, we'd established that I'd definitely done something to, it was my left leg that was damaged and my right arm, that was actually probably the most painful part. My leg, I couldn't really feel. I suppose there's just
so
adrenaline.
Much going on, yeah.
Anyway, they finally got me to the gate where there was an ambulance waiting to meet me. Once I got to the ambulance, the first responder, you know, set up a drip and established that I dislocated my elbow. So sort of secured my arm in a sling, put some sterile dressings on my legs. And then we beep-barred in the ambulance for another hour and a half to Richards Bay.
Good grief. Sir, are you flipping serious? And at this point now, everyone else just carries on as per normal? Or was there like a big deal now at the game reserve? Or is it something, because you weren't killed, was this something that kind of just kept on the down low?
Well, look, I ruined the weekend for the friends. Yeah. they resorted, I think, to drinking heavily for the rest of the weekend. Nobody had any appetite to go out and look for game. That was definitely the end of their weekend. Obviously, I wasn't there, so I'm not sure what happened. I got to Richards Bay Hospital, to the Bay Hospital, and it was a little bit surreal. It was like a scene out of Grey's Anatomy. As I pulled up and, you know, they said, patient number 6750, rhino goring, you know, and with that, it was like, whoa, you know, my clothes were cut off and tetanus injection and this and that. And I thought, oh my God, I am going to die now. Now I am going to die because there was just, they all reacted, you know, very fast. And once they'd stabilized me and they were realized that there was no threat of me dying and x-rayed my legs and my arm, they said, well, we're going to take you into surgery.
Was this for the elbow? Did they pop it back in like they do in the movies where the person's awake and they go one, two, three, and there's this big pop and the person's like, is that what happens?
No, that isn't what happened because I had to go into surgery for the wound on my leg. So I never looked at my leg, but according to the surgeon, he could fit his fist inside the wound.
From where the rhino's snout orb, I presume, horn went in.
So they needed to flush that all out because, you know, an animal is obviously, you know, carries lots of bacteria. Yeah. Had to flush it all out, put a drain into the wound and stitch it all together. So they were putting me under anesthetic and fortunately they could put my elbow back at the same time.
Flip, man.
Yeah.
And how long were you in hospital for?
4 or 5 days. Yeah, 4 or 5 days.
So I was, after I found out that you had been gouged by a rhino, I went to a friend's 40th. And at the 40th, I was just saying, you have to listen to Kiri's Couch this week. I'm speaking to a woman who was gouged by a rhino. And maybe it was a few gin and tonics that made these people ask these questions. But these are some of the questions that I got at this 40th. So I'm going to ask you these questions. Okay, Sue. The first one was, and so again, I say, maybe this is the gin and tonic speaking. The first question was, did they give her free stuff? As in from the game reserve, did they land up offering you a free stay or anything considering one of the animals gouged you?
They did actually offer me a free weekend back there, which I've never taken up.
Why? Why? Why not?
It took me a long time to even want to venture back into the game reserve. Just because, you know, a game reserve is associated with, you know, a happy place, a place where you go to relax. And I really didn't feel that that was going to be somewhere I could go and relax. So it took me a long time to go back. Probably 4 years.
Well, I was going to ask you, how long was it? So 4 years. And when you went back after that first time, I know the word attack sounds so mean, but it was a rhino
incident.
Incident. After the incident, were you on kind of panicked a lot of the time, or were you able to just be present and be?
I was on such high alert. If I heard a twig snap, I jumped. Every piece of antenna on my body was just waiting and looking. But I've now been back since quite a few times, and every time it's easier and I'm more relaxed. When we get out the game vehicle, I still stand with my back flat against the game vehicle, facing out.
Okay.
Checking out what's coming.
Sheesh.
But now, actually, it's quite interesting. I'm not fearful so much for myself as for others.
Okay.
You know, when we stop for a drink in the bush and a guy says, oh, I'm going to go and have a pee over there. I say, oh, no, rather pee where we can see you.
Yeah. And then it just looks like you're a woman with a fetish.
Exactly.
So someone else asked as well, do you know if they still do walking tours after what happened with you?
They do.
Okay. And so, I mean, just for me, even, you know, Shishui, Umfolozi, they've got the big five. So how does one even do the walking tour? Because, I mean, animals hunt, and they hunt successfully because they're not seen until the last moment. So, like, how does one even stay safe on a walking tour? Maybe you're not the right person to answer that, but I mean, yeah, this can't be a once.
No, Kiri.
Yeah.
To me, you know, there is a risk attached to going walking. You are in their territory, so obviously there is a risk. But, you know, there's a risk crossing a road.
Yes, there is a risk crossing a road. You are right. But you would have maybe seen or heard the car if you were crossing the freeway, you know. When it comes to the rhino, so this was also someone asked this, do you feel like a connection with rhinos now? Like you want to get a little rhino tattoo, you know, or are you a little bit petrified of rhinos? What is your, post this incident, what is your feeling towards the rhinoceros?
Actually, when I see a rhinoceros live, up close and personal, I look at it in awe and I think, oh my word, I survived this.
Wow, that is cool.
I mean, it's just this massive 2-ton animal. And, you know, the weight to body ratio between the animal and I was just so disproportionate. It's just a miracle that all I have to show for it is, Dr. Lacey at the Bay Hospital did such a great job on my leg. It's not even a great scar anymore.
Oh, really? I was going to ask that as well. Like if you've got some, you know, crazy scar that people ask you what happened and you get to tell that I was gouged by a rhino story, but no, it doesn't look like a shaving accident.
A little bit bigger than that. A little bit bigger than that.
My goodness.
And unless I actually drew your attention, attention to it, I don't think most people wouldn't notice it.
And then the final question from the 40th, and this is a bit later on, so obviously you can say no, but the one guy wanted to know desperately if there were any photos from the incident, because he was so keen to see what a rhino gouging looks like. So I don't know if one documented it and if you'd be keen to share anything.
I can send you pics.
Really?
Outstanding.
Outstanding. Well, Sue Cardwell.
It looked very dramatic when I was in hospital. If you looked at it now, you would go, eh. Yeah.
Well, like they say, time heals for a reason, but it didn't look dramatic, Sue. It was dramatic. You were gouged by a rhinoceros. That's a pretty big deal, you know. Yeah. Okay.
It isn't an unusual event.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of anyone else that's had an incident, a run-in with a rhino?
It's It was quite bizarre. Being at the Bay Hospital in Richards Bay, they deal with an enormous number of animal incidents. They were so excited to have me there because I was their first rhino goring.
Oh, well done.
Survivor.
Oh.
They've actually had a sort of almost a chalkboard there of they'd had a hyena scalping. They have many buffalo gorings, crocodiles, hippos. So it was something that wasn't all that unusual up there.
Wow.
It just was the fact it was a rhino that made me, you know, I was definitely exhibit A, everybody popping their head into the room saying, oh, wow, you're the rhino lady.
Rhino lady.
Yeah. So I had my moment of fame. If you cast your mind back to 2014, you know, it was sort of in the press and people were wanting to interview me and, you know, pictures, etc. And I did think I was quite a celebrity until Oscar Pistorius's sentence came out. And then I just got pushed to page four. Nah, old news.
You got moved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess rather be in the paper for what had happened in your life than what was going on in Oscar's life. So that was a win for you. But Sue, I am very, very happy that you're okay. And I mean, I know that you're not known as the Rhino Lady, but for this next week, at least, you're going to be the Rhino Lady to us. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And I'm excited to see those pictures. I think we all are. And I will look for a stuffed rhino, something that you can keep as a memento from this curious couch that I can bring for you and you can hold on to nice and tight. And yeah, I'm really glad you're okay. What a story. That's mad. And the fact that you had two surgeons walking with you in that group was also just really, I mean, I want to say right place, right time. One would argue that the fact that you'd been gouged by a rhino wasn't really right place, right time, but it is what it is. And I think you can understand as well as any woman that, you know, we're all exactly where we need to be. So for some reason, there's a lesson in this. Do you think,
absolutely.
Do you feel like there's a lesson in this, or do you think this is just a crazy thing that happened? Have you somehow learned something from this?
Oh yes, I've taken away a lot from that.
Really?
Oh yeah. You realize if it's not your time, it's not your time. You know, and it definitely wasn't my time. And every now and again, my leg will just, it's not a pain, it will just have a sort of gnawing ache. And I'll just think to myself, oh yeah, aren't you lucky to have that leg? And aren't you fortunate to be able to walk and move and do all the things that you love to do? And all you have is every now and again, a little reminder of, you know, how lucky and fortunate you are and that, you know, I'm here for a reason.
Wow. I love that. Sue Cardwell, Kerry's Couch, thank you again so much. And I'm really looking forward to those pictures.
Thanks, Kerry. Bye.